27, verses 11 to 44. Jesus before Pilate. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? You have say so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all cried, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldier mocked Jesus. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they say. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. The crucifixion of Jesus. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insult at him, shaking their head and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teacher of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they say, "but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebel who were crucified with him also heaped insult on him. This ends the reading of God's word.
Very good morning and good to see all of you here today. And I was sitting down, I was pondering and asking myself that how long I've been a Christian, and asking, I'll look at here, how long have I been a Christian, and how many times I attended the Good Friday and Easter services. And we have heard these passages many, many, many times. I wonder whether it really affects you. Honestly, I was thinking, sitting down, I think by the reading of God's Word, it really can affect us, isn't it? You don't need preaching. It really speaks to you. I don't know. It spoke to me as I was sitting down. You know, it really, when this song was sung, the rugged cross, I was quite emotional. Let's pray. Father, as we quieten our hearts before you, we pray that you speak to us. Lord, may your word stir our hearts, convict our hearts, Lord, and our minds to know what it means to be your disciples. For the way it means to know, Lord, you came to the world to die for us, and how you suffer for us for our sake, so that we may have eternal life. So, Lord, as we listen to your word, as we ponder upon your words, Lord, we truly, Lord, just like two disciples on the way to Emmaus, Lord, like they say, your word warm our hearts. And Father, indeed, Lord, speak to us for your name's sake and for your glory. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen. When I told my mother that I personally accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and was baptized, she was very upset and rebuked me for forsaking my Chinese belief and religion. The worst thing was that I told her that I was baptized. You see, as an Asian, if you are a Christian, say you are Christian, you are not baptized, it's okay. Only 50% you are Christian. 50% you can turn back. So for Asians, baptism is so important. When you're baptized, that means you're 100% Christian. Right? You're just 50% Christian. But interestingly, on my 18th birthday, she bought for me a gold cross. As a non-believer, she knew a little bit about the cross. She knew that Jesus was hung on the cross. But she did not know why Jesus hung on the cross. Some people wear the cross as a jewelry. And some will hang it on their rear mirror of their car for protection. I believe I've seen that, right? For protection. But the question we need to ask ourselves today is, why? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? My first point is to save sinners like you and I. Sinners, sin. Because we have sinned against God. So I have this acronym, I was thinking of myself, acronym sin. What is sin? It's a big word, isn't it, sin? S stands for self. We always look at ourselves. When you wake up, where do you look? Mirror. Self, right? Nothing much in this. It's okay. I still can come. It's about self. It's about me. I. It's all about I, right? Me. Everything about me, right? Isn't that true? So if a self about wanting to be independent, how about N? Nobody tells me what to do. Isn't it true? like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. No other way. We raise our hands and nobody, God, nobody tells me what to do. Even you, God. And that's what we call sin. S-I-N. It's our rebellious against God. As I say, here it means we refuse to acknowledge God to be a master of life. We want to be free. We do not want God to take control of our life. So at the heart of our sin is the perverse desire to live for self rather to live for God. And that's why we need to be saved. That's why Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin against God. Is it sin? Everybody got a mobile phone, and most of us got a mobile phone. Imagine a lot of, you receive WhatsApp, all this Twitter, whatever, isn't it? For younger one, like Jonathan, we are old. So anyway, imagine all the sin in the phone, sin in your phone, collect all this inside phone. And here you are, Jesus say that. All here, so you say that, okay, I'm calm, right? I delete it. I delete all your sin once and for all on the cross at Calvary. And there's a reason why Jesus refused to come down on the cross. When the two robbers passed by and the religious leader challenged him to do so, if he was indeed the Son of God, who had said that he would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, he should have saved himself and come down from the cross. Here is truly Jesus' last temptation. To come down from the cross. And friends, he could have chosen to give it to it. But we know that if Jesus were to come down from the cross, there would be no blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of sins. No ransom. No salvation from sin. No gospel, the kingdom of God to proclaim. No fulfillment of the word of God. All of us will still be condemned. An eternal damnation. So for the sake of our eternal salvation, we praise God and we thank God that Jesus chose to remain on the cross despite this unspeakable and pain that he had to bear on the cross for you and I. No wonder Apostle Paul could say, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." How true it was. He saved others, but he can't save himself. It was not that he lacked power. It was because it was the will of the Father that he should die on the cross. From the beginning of time, God already planned to save you and I from hell. And Jesus consciously decided not to come down off the cross. One writer wrote, "It was the power of love, not the nails, that kept Jesus there." Can you see? Like that's what I read. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Helen. For God so loved John. For God so loved Eddie. That he died on the cross for us. You know, John 3:16, we always remember John 3:16. But I want to read John 3:17. 16 says, for God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Listen to verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Can you see that? 18. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. See, the crowd say that they would believe that he was a Son of God if he came down from the cross. But we believe that because he's a Son of God, he stayed up. See, the purpose of Jesus coming into the world is to save the religious sinners, ignorant sinners, and condemned sinners from the wrath of God. In the 1993 hit film, The Line of Fire. Have you watched it, The Line of Fire? How many of you watched 1993? Some of you may be 1 year old or... Yeah. Clint Eastwood played the secret agent, secret service agent Frank Harrigan. Harrigan protected the life of a president for more than 30 years. But who was haunted by the memory of what had happened 30 years before? He was a young agent assigned to President Kennedy on that fateful day in Dallas in 1963. When the assassin fired, he froze in shock. So for 30 years after, he wrestled with the ultimate question for a Secret Service agent. Can I take a bullet for the president? So in the climax of a movie, he does what he had been unable to do earlier, 30 years before. He threw himself into the path of an assassin's bullet to save the president. Secret Service agents are willing to do such a thing because they believe the president is so valuable to their country and the world that he is worth dying for. So obviously they would not take a bullet for just anyone. At Calvary, the situation was reversed. The president of the universe, of the world, actually took a bullet for each one of us. As a cross, we see how valuable we are to God. Each one of us in this room is special to God. If you and I truly want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross. The cross expresses limitless love. It's because Jesus suffered and died on the cross for sinners like us. Now I want you to watch this video.
crucem sua.
Ridite crucem! Ruđite! Ruđite!
Cantate Eam!
Kabilule, wa okulu, tinau kishmi. Il komi hiv.
If you look at the movie, if you look at the scripture, exactly what happened. Look at such a scripture. All right. Even was when Jesus on the cross so weak, before that he was beaten earlier at the court. Right. He was so weak when he was on the cross at Calvary. Yeah. And this is Jesus, how you bore your sin and my sin on the cross. The pain he went through for your sake and for my sake. The agony he went through is for your sake and for my sake. And there's a reason why when they say that, the people say, come down if you're a son of God. Save yourself. And Jesus refused to save himself so that he can save you and I from eternal damnation. Can you see that, my friends? He refused for your sake and for my sake. He bore all the pain, your sin and my sin on the cross at Calvary so that you and I will have eternal life. Christ died on the cross, like I said, to save us from the wrath of God. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To save us from the wrath of God. Romans 3:23 tell us, for all have sinned, all, the words all have sinned, and fall short of glory of God. See, my friends, a holy God will not allow us to continue to rebel against him. And therefore, he will punish us. God's holiness demands judgment for our rebellion. And there's another reason why Jesus had to go to the cross to save us from the wrath of God. Instead of showing gratitude and thanksgiving in their hearts, what did the rebellious, religious leaders do? They mocked at Jesus, saying, let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. If you come down from the cross, I will believe in you. Remember I said to you, the ex-pastor said in the interview, if I can see Jesus, then I will believe in him again. Listen to Max Lucado, the writer of No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. This is what they say. Of all the sins around the cross, this one angers me the most. What kind of people, I ask myself, will mock a dying man? How long and perverted to sneer at him who is laced with pain? Who would make fun of a person who is in an electric chair? Or who could point and laugh at a criminal who has a rope around his neck? Modern criminals, even the most vicious murderers, are given more dignity in death than Jesus. Do you all agree? The inhumane treatment he suffered would not be tolerated in today's legal system. I remember that many, many years ago, one American young man who went around in Singapore to steal, you know, those signs in public, no waiting, whatever sign, they, no entry, he stole it, American guy. He thought he's American, so nobody can touch him. But not in Singapore. He was caught. He was thrown into prison, 3 strokes. You know what happened? The president of America, Bill Clinton, wrote to Singapore government, you can't do that. You can't do that. Even, you know, just a 3 stroke for misbehaving, for doing the wrong thing. The American people are so upset with Singapore government. How about this one? Very inhumane treatment. See, to all this shameful treatment from the Roman soldiers, passers-by, the Jewish leaders, and the thieves on the cross, Jesus was passive. Why? It's because, my dear friend, Jesus loves you. Jesus was willing to endure passively on the cross so that through his suffering and death, he could be the savior of all. See, notice their reasoning here. They acknowledged that he trusted in God, and that trust should be rewarded by help from God. Isn't this all too common and dangerous religious wisdom seems today? If you believe in God, God will rescue you. And here I was reminded by my late mother-in-law when she was suffering from bone cancer, dying. Her sister came to her and said that, see, now you believe in God. Why your God, Jesus, can't save you, can't heal you? You believe in God? What happened now? But thanks be to God, my late mother-in-law still believe in God, still hold on to God, because she believes there is eternal life. See, the danger comes when this is reversed. What happens when God does not come to rescue? Certainly, God comforts those who are his. But to reverse, it is when the lies come in. See, friends, to experience this comfort is not necessarily to conclude that God is absent. The religious leaders and passersby may not acknowledge that Jesus is truly the King of the Jews and the King and Savior of all mankind. But one person did know who Jesus was. In Matthew 27:44 and Luke 23:39-43, both tell us that each of the thieves were crucified with Jesus, cast the same insult at him. But one thief repented and rebuked the other thief. Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Friends, isn't it incredible that a man was going through great pain and suffering could rebuke his fellow robber and said, don't you fear God? When we are in pain, our instinct is to lash at others and at God. But not this man. Don't you fear God? If God asked each one of us this question, how would you answer him? Then this thief makes an admission. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And that is true repentance, isn't it? He turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. This man was being crucified as a criminal. But as he looked at Christ, he saw more than a fellow sufferer. He recognized his Redeemer, his Savior, and made a confession of he has recognized in Jesus his own King and he submits himself to Jesus, calling him Lord. See, based on that simple confession of faith, along apart from works, money, power, opposition, our Lord Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, do you see what happened to this man? He has been forgiven. Forgiven by God and will not face God's wrath, God's judgment. This thief has been atoned by the blood of Christ. This thief has been covered by the blood of Christ. Our Lord, in speaking to this thief, speak also to all who put their trust in him and promises his presence with them in paradise the moment that they die. No wonder my late mother-in-law, even though she went through great suffering, she would not say that, I give up Jesus. But she continued to put her faith and trust in God because she believed when she died on that very day, she will be with Jesus. So why did Jesus die on the cross? The answer is that Jesus came to save us from the wrath of God. God has allowed pain as is most severe to strike Jesus. See, friends, when we hear about great heroes like Abraham Lincoln, who gave his life for a nation torn by war, we salute him and praise him for his courage. When we read about Martin Luther King, how he sacrificed his life for his rights in America, we admire him for his love for his fellow black Americans. When we hear and read about recently, only last week, in Sydney, how a young policewoman acted quickly and calmly to save the life of a 60-year-old woman who has crashed her car into DY Lagoon. Remember the incident? We admire her heroic act. See, all these people are great heroes. But friends, they do not have the power to save the people from their sin nor from eternal damnation. It's only the Son of God who is able to rescue you and I from eternal damnation. Only Jesus can save us from the wrath of God. The only hope for our salvation is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And it was on the cross that he will atone for our guilt and cover all our shame. It was on the cross that he restored our relationship with God. It was on the cross that he freely granted us the gift of eternal life. Friends, what do you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternal destiny. So what are your options? You can hate him, as the Jewish leaders did. You can reject him, as the crowd did. You can mock at him, as the soldiers did. You can have nothing to do with him, as Pilate's wife did, or you can get rid of him, as Pilate did. See, friends, whatever your choice will be, whatever you choose will be a choice for eternity. Either you accept him or you reject him. So why not reject all those choices? Why not choose the one who loves you so much that he came to earth to die for you? So why not choose Jesus? Why not say, Jesus, I have sinned against you. I rejected you. I want to run my life my own way. I want to have you as my Lord and Savior. Because on my own, I can't save myself. I'm just like a drunk person asking for help. I can't do it. Only you can help me and nobody else. So will you come to him today and accept him as a Lord and Savior? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the cross. Father, thank you for rejecting all the offers that the soldiers, the passerby, the thief on the cross asked you to come down. But you refuse because you love us so much. You are willing to bear the pain, the agony, the suffering, even at the very moment even your father rejected you. So wonder you cry out, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? So Father, as I come to you as believers, Father, we pray that this Good Friday is not another religious day, but the Lord, a day that we ponder upon your love for us on the cross. And Father, we pray that you will help us, you will renew us, Lord, to love you with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and spirit. Father, as we look at the cross, Lord, we are reminded how much you love us. And Father, help us to love you with the love of Jesus. And Father, for those who have not come to know you as Lord and Savior, and I pray that today, Lord, you will touch them with the love of Jesus. Lord, may they look at the cross and realize and recognize how much you love them. How much, Lord, you want them, Lord, to come into your kingdom. And Father, may they repent of their sin and accept you as the Lord and Savior. And Father, we commit each one of us unto your hand. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.